the year, as we come to this time of the year that I really enjoy sitting down and reading from the Bible, the account of the Christmas story, and trying to visualise it and picture it in the scene in my mind. But actually this Christmas is slightly different for me from all previous Christmases. In the past, my perception of places like Nazareth and Bethlehem were based largely upon my imagination. But this year I can actually visualise the places, and the reason is that early on in the year, back in February, I was part of a group of church ministers who went on a trip to Israel. Now you may be sat there thinking, well, that was really great too, and indeed it is true. My wife Rachel was very keen on me to sort out my life insurance, check that I had a will all sorted before I went out. I have to confess, the first day we got there, and it came on the news that Israel had bombed Syria. I was thinking, great timing. But it was fine, it was a wonderful trip. And a very interesting trip. Fascinating to see all the places that I read about in the Bible for many, many years. And of course, that included Bethlehem and Nazareth. Of course, they're very, very different now. Nazareth is a city of 75,000 people. And there's a couple of my photos, one from my visit there. At the time of Jesus' time, it was a village of about 400 or 500. So I'm not sure I've got much of a picture of what it was like, but at least I've got some sense of the geography of the area. And then of course there's Bethlehem. Now Bethlehem is in the West Bank. If you know anything of the politics of that area, you will realise that it wasn't straightforward to visit. It's separated from Jerusalem, which is only a few miles away, by a great big enormous wall. But nonetheless, it was very interesting to go and visit both of these places. And it helped me to visualise in some way the two main places that are mentioned in the Christmas story. But here's a question. Did it help me understand Christmas? Does having walked around Bethlehem, having walked around Nazareth, does it make a difference in that respect? Well, actually, the answer, I think, is no. I don't think it makes any difference whatsoever. In fact, I'd go further than that. There was a young man who showed us around Bethlehem. The Israeli tourist guide that we had for left the time wasn't allowed to show us down the West Bank, so we had a young man who came and did that for us. He was a very nice young man. He gave a very informative commentary. Down Bethlehem, up to Manger Square, the Church of the Nativity. He knew his stuff. There's no doubt about that. But from the things that he said, I don't think he really understood Christmas. The facts he knew, but I don't think he understood what it means. And I think many, many people today are in that situation. They know the story, of course they know it. They've heard it from being a young child. Every year it comes back and they're familiar with the story. They're familiar with the event, but they're not familiar with the meaning. We haven't really grasped what Christmas is all about. And just for the few moments we close our carol service this year, I'd like to see if we can make sure that we understand it. And we're going to do it from looking at Luke's Gospel, and in particular, a few passages in chapter 1. Luke's Gospel is interesting, actually, because it illustrates the point that I'm trying to make. You see, Luke isn't really interested in reporting about the events. Let me show you. How long does Luke spend in talking about the actual birth of Jesus? Well, I'll read you it. It won't take long. Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. That's it. It's finished. Brief and to the point. But Luke gave not just two verses, as he did then, to the events. He gives two chapters to what it means. In fact, you could even say, he gives two books. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. He also wrote Acts of the Apostles later on in the Bible. And Luke's Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles are there to explain what Christmas is all about, why Jesus came into the world. We're going to look specifically and briefly tonight at what the angel Gabriel said to Mary and what it teaches us about the meaning of Christmas. And there's a number of key questions that Gabriel answered as he explained what was going to happen. And he talked about the special one who was to arrive in the world, the one who is light at the centre of Christmas. And you can see on the screen what those questions are. Gabriel explained who the baby is, how the baby was going to come into the world, and what the baby was coming to do. First of all, who the baby is. Gabriel pointed out that the child Mary was to bear was to be no ordinary child. Luke 1 verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Verse 35. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. He will be great. More than just that. He is the Son of the Most High. He is the Son of God. He's going to be different. Very different. This is no ordinary baby who is being born. In fact, the fact that Jesus is different is also attested to by the next question that Gabriel answered. How the baby was going to come into the world. This special child was to be born of a virgin. And that's repeatedly emphasized in Luke chapter 1. What's the significance of a virgin birth? Well, it determines who Jesus is. I don't know if you're familiar with a man by the name of Larry King. And you may well have seen him on television. I understand, I'm not that familiar myself, but I understand he's an American chat show host. And has been doing it for many, many years. And on one occasion he was asked, obviously the tables were turned, and he was answering the questions. And one person said to him, look, if you could ask one question to one person from history, who would you ask that question to, and what would that question be? Very good question. And this was his answer. He said it would be Jesus, and the question I would ask would be, were you or were you not virgin born? The person who asked the question went on and said to him, well, why? Why would you ask that question? And this is what Larry King said. The answer to that question would define history for me. The answer to that question would define history for me. Now, I don't know much about Larry King, but I think he's got that right. But if Jesus was virgin born, then he is no ordinary human being. In fact, the virgin birth indicates Jesus' deity, that he is God. And the Bible is clear in testifying to the virgin birth. In fact, the Bible elsewhere testifies to the fact that Jesus is God. We had a passage then early on in the service, didn't we? From Isaiah, Linda brought it and read it to us. And what's his name? Well, he had many names, but he is going to be called Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Now that makes the events of the first Christmas enormous. They're massive. This is why Christians are so keen to celebrate this time. That's why it's so important. God came down in human flesh. He lived with us. It's God with us. He faced everything that we face in the world. Although unlike us, he lived a perfect life. But why? Why would God come down to this earth? Well, Gabriel starts to answer that too as well. Another aspect of how the baby was going to come into the world was the fact that he was coming to fulfill Old Testament promises. You see, this didn't happen totally out of the blue. In fact, at the time of Jesus was born, the people, and indeed for centuries before that time, people had been expecting, they'd been longing for the Messiah, the Christ. And we look in Luke chapter 1 and we see that Gabriel mentions that Joseph, Jesus' legal father, was of the house of David. Later on in verse 32, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. What's the significance of that? You may think, well, that's not a big deal, is it? Well, one of the promises that God had made centuries before was that the Messiah would belong to the line of King David. He would be a descendant of David. And so Gabriel here puts this event into the context of the rest of the Bible. God had promised that though humankind had turned its back on him, rejected him, made themselves in effect gods, broken that relationship that existed between man and God, in his goodness, in his mercy, he would not turn his back and eternally reject them. He could have. In fact, that's what we should be facing. But he is perfect. He cannot abide in perfection. He cannot abide sin. Sin is the barrier that separates us from God. But promise after promise came that he would send someone, the Messiah, the Christ, to sort out this problem, the barrier of sin. And Gabriel points out that Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the descendant of David, who would sort out this problem. And that, Gabriel explained, was what the baby was coming to do. Now, names aren't nowadays particularly significant. I've always been very proud of the fact that my name is Andrew. I've always thought it's quite appropriate to act. Andrew means manly. I'm not sure if anyone else would share that opinion. But to be honest, names don't mean an awful lot today, do they? But the name of Jesus is significant. Verse 31 of Luke 1, Gabriel said, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear the Son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Jesus means Savior. His name tells us what he was coming to do, to save. This barrier of sin, we can't do anything about it. We can't outweigh it by good deeds. Religious observances, that's not going to hold any sway. That's not going to help us at all. There's nothing that we can do. But the prophets have promised a Savior is coming. Someone had to intervene. Someone had to come to save. We need to be saved, whether we like it or not. We don't measure up to God's standards. And Gabriel says to Mary, a Savior is coming. But how is he going to save? How is it going to happen? Well, to answer that, we need to go to the other end of Luke's Gospel. And we need to go to another part of my trip to Israel. Whilst I was there, we stayed quite a few days in Jerusalem. And you'll be able to see that on the screen. We went to the Garden of Gethsemane. You may be familiar with that. You can see that on the picture. And as we were there in Jerusalem, we were very conscious. Although no one knows exactly where it happened, that within just a few miles of where we were walking, another event that truly defines history took place. And it's an event we need to understand if we want to understand Christmas. For somewhere outside the city walls of Jerusalem, 33 years after the first Christmas, Jesus died on a cross. And the Bible explains that he died in order to save us, to pay the price of our sin, to enable us to know God once more, to know life in all its abundance, to know eternal life. And Jesus had to pay the price to save us. Of course, he didn't stay dead. Those from the grave. And as a consequence of these acts, the Bible says we can be saved. One of the most famous verses in the Bible says the following, and then the following verse goes on to explain it further. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." All that is needed is for us to turn from our past and place our trust in him, in Jesus. And it's only in doing that that we really understand Christmas. We understand what was going on 2,000 years ago and why it is still relevant for us. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That is the message that we want to share here in Simon. Everyone is most welcome to join us, not just once a year, but week by week, as we join together worshipping God and we seek to understand the message of the Bible more and more. And for the adults here, if you would like to know more about the Christian faith, I've got booklets that are available, and you'd be very happy to. I'll be very happy for you to take them and to leave them. If you want to talk about it as well, I'll be very happy to talk. It'd be great for you to look into this far more. As we close, I'd like to encourage everyone. Don't just be happy knowing something of the events of the first Christmas. Come to that point where you understand Christmas. You understand what it is all about. We're going to sing our